I'm Ken Boone, and this is my podcast, Much More to Say. This show is a production of the Descant MMG Podcast Network. Episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Show notes can be found on our website, muchmoretosay.weebly.com. That's much more, the number two, say.weebly.com. And now, on with the show. Leader at a church that Celia and I briefly attended. He's not to be confused with another Claude I grew up with, who had real musical talent, as did his two older brothers. This Claude once told me the reason that his band got on stage without a bassist was his attempt to present an unplugged set. Now, of course, it was pure spin. The real reason for the staging decision was that the bassist scheduled to play missed rehearsal, and Claude was trying to assert his dominance. He could have made his point in a better way. Since Claude was also a bassist, he could have simply sat in and played the set. That would have drilled home the point that everyone is replaceable. That's what I would have done. Now, I'm not siding with the bench bassist. That's because I once played a gig with him and found him to be really a jerk. But punishing the band and the congregation just to show who's the boss is a Bush League move that very few band leaders would ever do. In the past, I've placed band leader Claude in a less than flattering light. One could conclude that I was jealous of him, maybe? Well, I may be guilty of being a bit of a hater, but I think I have legitimate beef. That's because I was part of the struggle to make it okay for praise and worship bands to exist in the first place. When we were growing up in that denomination, the only acceptable music to play was classical, hymns, anthems, and certain Negro spirituals. Any forays into secular music occurred in the shadows. Attempts to perform music outside the accepted genres was quickly slapped down. There are still those who want us to return to the good old days of hymns, classical, anthems, and certain Negro spirituals. As a teenager, my brother Mike was an aspiring concert pianist. Except for when he accompanied our friend David, and that's his real name, he only played secular music at home. And he even let me play percussion by beating on the piano bench when he would play pop tunes at home. We even performed for family and friends to polite applause. That was my first duo, and it brought me great joy. My second duo was facilitated by Miss Perry, my elementary school music teacher. Once a week, she would roll her cart of various hand percussion instruments into our classroom. She was also the school's drama teacher and conductor of the choir and band. Now, Miss Perry encouraged her students to explore the limits of their musicality. She let me try to play any instrument that caught my attention. She introduced me to the trombone, and she didn't object to me switching to the French horn, even though she joked that the only reason I was drawn to it was because it was shiny and I got to stick my hand in the bell. The nicest thing that Miss Perry did for me was to allow my friend Terry and me to play a duet at our sixth grade graduation. Now, he was the best trumpeter in the band, while I was the best trombonist. However, Miss Perry let me play snare drum in a rousing rendition of Junior Band March. The ovation we got was probably polite applause, but it still brought a feeling of joy that I remember to this day. Quoting American author Peter McWilliams, "You can have anything in life you really want, but you can't have everything you want in life. Decide." Much of my formal musical training took place at school, with me learning on school-owned instruments. This is not me griping about getting the short end of the stick. Instead, this is me singing the praises of a time when music and art were a big part of the public school curriculum. Back then, the only limitations were whether you took band or chorus. They supplied us with everything, which was amazing since we didn't live in a very affluent school district, not affluent at all. It's my understanding that due to budgetary constraints, many schools are forced to cut music and art from their curriculums. Now that's sad, because a lot of great musicians and artists got their starts learning under teachers like Miss Perry. One advantage of living in these times is the relative affordability of music gear. For just a few $100, you can purchase equipment that is sonically better than some of the classic recordings from back in the day. On the other hand, having access to this affordable technology comes with a few disadvantages. One that comes to mind is a dumbing down of skills. There's some software that plays the parts for you, believe it or not. To me, that's worse than sampling, which is something I personally despise. Another disadvantage that afflicts musicians is a common malady known as gear acquisition syndrome, also known as GAS. This is understood as a musician's urge to buy and own instruments and equipment in the hope that those purchases will spark creativity and happiness within the experience. Now, I admit that from time to time, I deal with bouts of GAS. I try my best to keep it under control because it can be quite addictive. I know people who go deep into debt just to get the latest and greatest thing. It's like chasing the shiny penny that I talked about in a previous episode. Band leader Claude was having a major bout of GAS when I met him. He would humbly brag about his bass guitar, amp, PA system, and his Roland keyboard he owned, even though he never tickled the ivories. Now, I admit that he had nice stuff, but he bought it at the expense of taking care of the necessities. Now, I heard that he recently had a period of financial hardship. Now, I don't know if he had to sell any of his gear, but he wouldn't be the first person I know who faced those challenges. I've been fortunate enough to avoid any major financial disasters brought on by gear acquisition syndrome. I had some very successful people in my music life who taught me how to conduct my business in a fiscally responsible manner. The first person that comes to mind is my buddy Pete. This is a guy who's known in the industry as having the ability to stuff 10 pounds of poop in a 5-pound bag. Of the over 150 albums released on his label Magna Carta, he didn't lose a dime. Now, I've had several people ask me if there's a cure for gas. When I give them the short answer of not spending what you can't afford, they look at me as if I'm holding out on them in some way. So, I went to my trusty Google machine and found this list of 5 practical things you can do to treat gear acquisition syndrome. Number 1, pick a gadget you already have and make an entire song just using that. Number 2, read the manual that came along with your gear. Number 3, watch video tutorials on gear you own. Number 4, listen to music that is simple so you don't get sucked into the world of gear. And number 5, use your gear in new and unusual ways. All of this brings us to the present day, with me seriously considering reforming my third duo and being afflicted with another case of gas. At my age, I should be worried, since I have a history of holding on to unrealistic expectations. The last time we played together, Celia and I had a great experience. In fact, we never had a bad gig when it was just the two of us. It was when others joined us that we felt, or that I felt, the stress of trying to make everything look right, sound right, etc. right. Playing together reminds me of the quote from Garth Brooks, when he described performing as a mature musician, similar to earning the right to eat mashed potatoes with 2 hands instead of 1. That freedom is the envy of all musicians out there who still must sing for their supper. I remember when we would hop in our car and take a short drive across the state to play at a venue to an appreciative audience. That was something that never got old. And we would always get paid. And I'm not necessarily talking about monetarily. For Celia, it was like a family reunion. For me, it was like meeting cool in-laws for the first time, complete with a feast for the eyes, body, and soul. As I've said countless times on this podcast, playing that gig couldn't be easier. Since Celia was clearly the star, all I had to do was count off the tunes, keep the bad notes to a minimum, and not trip over the cables when we entered and exited the stage. As I also said, I'm currently dealing with a mild bout of gas. To treat it, I'll follow the 5 things I listed earlier. But in my case, there are a couple of items I really must purchase. The good news is that it's an either-or proposition, depending on how we plan on delivering our message. If I had to make a decision today, I would choose to go downstairs to our music room and record some Celia-arranged hymns. Now, I still have a SoundCloud account ready to go. Would still be willing to play publicly, but we won't be soliciting any bookings. And while we would enjoy collaborating with other musicians, we're done trying to recruit bandmates. So, maybe I'll buy a cajon as a salute to my first duo, Mike and me, with me beating on the piano stool, and just call it a day. I sometimes wonder where band leader Claude landed. I hope that he's still playing and in his new church's praise band. I just hope they didn't place him in charge of the music department. I wouldn't mind seeing him again. The last time we met was rather pleasant, which got me thinking that I had a resentment against the guy based on flawed reasoning. There was a power struggle at his old church with Celia and I being pulled in by the other side. Truth be told, it wasn't all circus. And that's another reason why I'm glad that I'm doing this duet thing again. We get to avoid all the politics, which we get enough of on cable news. And when we get tired of the TV version, all we need to do is change the channel to HGTV, Hallmark, or watch reruns of 911. A source of true joy. Today's quote is from American sociologist and author Elise M. Boulding. The consumption society has made us feel that happiness lies in having things and has failed to teach us the happiness of not having things. Until next time, this is Ken Boone. Thanks for listening.
We invite you to visit our website, muchmoretosay.weebly.com. That's much more, the number two, say.weebly.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Episodes are available on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and Google Podcast. So like, comment, share, and join the conversation. This has been a production of the Deskant MMG Podcast Network.